Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
The Bucks are in trouble and just continuing to give it away. It's another turnover. Rollins couldn't keep it. Doc Rivers has got to be beside himself.
Bucks talk starts now.
Well, the Bucks are their own worst enemy. They have met the enemy, and it is them.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Yeah, the old Spider-Man meme with the enemy when you're looking in the mirror and see that's who's looking back at us. I think we tried to put it as bluntly as we could. I'll speak for Dave on our tete-a-tete there, the post-game back and forth. This was very troubling and upsetting to see. You heard from Doc Rivers after the game, who said a lot of the same. But, you know, we talked before the game about this team has shown fight and resiliency coming back to, you know, beat the Celtics. Let's just start no further than the last time this team was on the floor. Slow start, came back from down double figures, beat a pretty good team to win that game. Even in games they've lost, they have come back and erased large amounts of the deficit, put themselves in a position to win those games before ultimately falling short. It wasn't just a rollover performance. I'm not going to come out here and question or criticize anybody's effort or whether or not they quote-unquote quit on a game. I'm not going to stop you from doing that if that's how you feel. But this was tough to watch. You know, it's one thing to get run over in a wire-to-wire loss to a good team. You know, it's one thing to just be completely outmatched and lose to a team that you can see, yeah, this team's headed somewhere. It's a completely different thing to lose by 45 points to a team that's going nowhere. I know the last time you played the Brooklyn Nets, you did have Giannis. And that was Kevin Porter Jr.'s first game back after the injury on opening night. I remember sitting there watching that game and thinking, man, this Nets team might be the worst team in the league. Just the way they played. And think about the way this game started, too. The opportunities the Nets were trying to give you with some of the sloppy play and turnovers, and you just did the same thing. You'd take a turnover and you'd turn it right back over. You wouldn't score at the rim. This was a game you needed to win. You know, it's not a must-win game at December on the schedule, but we looked at this game, and we've talked about this for weeks now with the schedule this team has in front of them. You know, we said coming into December, you're going to get your answer in the month of December, and that was before the calf strain to Giannis. It still applies. You're going to get your answer of who is this team in December. Well, no. We are now midway through the month. We will be in technically 2 days. But by the time the Bucks step foot on the floor again, more than half of the month of December is gone. You are still in a massive hole at 11-16. And you know there's at least a week before Giannis makes his return. In all likelihood, it's probably 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. You still have to weather quite a bit of storm here. And you have not reduced any amount of that hole you've dug yourself in. And you have, quite frankly, with tonight's results and the way you played and looked tonight, you have not stopped the dig. And the process of digging that hole. You know, as we sit here now on December 14th, and more on the date in just a moment here and why it's important. December 14th, as we sit here, take a look at the standings. And here's why it's relevant, why we mentioned the date. Because you have a large chunk of the league, of players in the league becoming tradable tomorrow. December 15th is when contracts that were signed in the offseason become tradable. Now, I'm not saying, and quite frankly, I don't think that has anything to do with Giannis specifically. But, you know, if you read the tea leaves, there is probably quite a bit of desperation going on with this team right now because of the uncertainty of Giannis and his future. And because you are now in a hole at 11-16, and because there's other teams that are starting to piece this together. And look, quite frankly, here's the other thing that we should probably keep in mind with any analysis and evaluation of this team and, you know, short-term, short-sighted trades, anything you want to concoct and throw out there, fine. Let's hear it. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. But I just want to say this. There's still a lot of season left, sure. There is still some time to turn some of this around. But, you know, the old adage that you hear a lot from coaches, too, of like, you are what your record says you are. What the Bucks' record says they are is a bad team right now. And you can give yourself all the hope and optimism over, yeah, but. You know, yeah, but you played without A.J. Green. Yeah, but you're continuing to play without Giannis. Those things are going to turn around and get better when they're back. Sure, they will. You know, this team is not a 45-point loss to the Brooklyn Nets level team when you have all your guys on the floor. But if you did not watch those games yesterday, the semifinals of the NBA Cup, you had the Orlando Magic and the New York Knicks. You know, a Knicks team that the Bucks held their own against in Giannis's first game back and beat in Milwaukee in the glory days of this season, unfortunately, is what we're going to look back on them then. That was the last time this team has won back-to-back games. You know, that was, October 29th, 28th, and 30th? That was the last time the Bucks, you know, even though he has not been on the floor for the last couple of weeks and on and off for that matter, a Bucks team that has Giannis Antetokounmpo, that is the last time they won consecutive games, was the end of October. That in itself is a sobering reality check, but watch the games that were played yesterday. Watch the Orlando Magic. Watch the Oklahoma City Thunder. Watch the San Antonio Spurs. We talked about the Knicks and the familiarity with them. Watch those teams. Watch those games and tell me, yeah, you know what? As long as you get Giannis back, I see the Bucks at this level. That's a really hard squint to get there, given the sample size of 27 games that we have already seen now into this season. And I mentioned the standings and why it's important. Again, tomorrow is December 15th, and that is when deals signed in the offseason become tradable. Right now, at 11-16, and again, you know, I've talked to you in the past about sample size and the importance of sample size. We've talked about the plus-minus and why, you know, not the end-all, be-all. Sometimes it matches the eye test. It doesn't always tell the full story. And rebounding rate is another one I talk about a lot, Evan. Like, don't the raw rebounding numbers, sure, it's great. The counting numbers on the back of the basketball card. Rebounding percentages and true shot attempts. That's another one if you want to get really into the weeds of nerddom. Those are some of the more important statistics to look at. Rebounding percentage. In other words, the available rebounds in the game, what percentage of them did you get? Offensive rebounding rate, defensive rebounding rate, that's what it is. So shots that you missed, your offensive rebounding rate is 33%. That means when you missed a shot, 33% of the time you got it back. That's pretty good. True shot attempts, basically looking at a calculation that takes into account field goal attempts and free throws. You want more than the opponent there. Bucks have routinely been on the other end of that. Losses are the most important thing when you're looking at the standings because there's nothing you can do to get rid of it. There is no magic eraser that's going to take care of, let's just take two of those off there. These were close losses, so let's get rid of them. Those are there. They're stuck. There's nothing you can do to remove them. You can add wins. You cannot subtract losses. So always look at losses when you're looking at the standings. Right now, with 16 losses, pending the results of what's going down in Chicago between the Bulls and the Pelicans, you may be two games back in the loss column of the 10 seed. But you are only four losses in front of the 15 seed. Four losses. The seventh-seeded Miami Heat have 11 losses. That is five fewer than you. You are closer to last in the conference. Then you are seventh, which is still a play-in tournament team. That is the reality of your situation right now. And again, if you have optimism that it's going to greatly change, I would love to hear it. But we know, at best, it's still another week without Giannis returning, and that's where you currently are. So that's why we mentioned December 15th, and that's why, quite frankly, you are going to hear a lot of that outside of Milwaukee. Not just with the Bucks, with every team, but the Bucks are one of those teams that people are going to look at and say, man, look at where they're at. Don't they have to consider X, Y, and Z? Now it's going to pick up big time because of the deals that become tradable as of tomorrow. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line if you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And here's the other thing I'm just going to say up front. If this is the path you want to go down, if you want to call in and you have criticisms about the coaching, about the head coach, that is perfectly fine. We will take your calls. You are able to do that. You're able to voice your opinion. For the obvious reason, it's not any path I can go down, but I'm not going to prevent you from having that to say if that's how you feel. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited talk and text line. A really bad loss. We're not going to sugarcoat it. This was really, really bad for the Bucks. A disheartening loss, a wire-to-wire loss to a bad team. But the record says the Bucks are also a bad team. We'll take your thoughts coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
A lot to a little is the score, basically. A 45-point loss to the Brooklyn Nets tonight. And, you know, you can try to say you didn't have Giannis. That's not 45 points to the Nets. This was a disheartening performance, and it should be a soul-searching performance for the team. That, you know, we heard Doc mention the days off and the film study and reviewing the film that they're going to do, and they're going to practice hard. In some ways, I suppose this is one of those games where you'd rather play tomorrow. But we have, not to the tune of 45 points, but these types of performances we have unfortunately seen all too often, not just in the 27 games this year, really since the title defense year. You know, it's getting further and further away when you say the year the Bucks won the championship. It's going to be 5 years ago this summer. And it feels like a lifetime ago, especially with performances like this. Tomorrow's December 15th. The relevance of that date is off-season contracts, off-season free agent signings. They become tradable, those contracts do, on December 15th. And you're going to hear a lot of trade chatter. We've already heard trade chatter about one guy on this team. But you're going to hear a lot of trade chatter in general, especially when you lose by 45 points to a team that's beneath you in the standings and you are currently 11th in your conference. The trade chatter is going to pick up. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line if you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with our pal Bob in Menasha. You lead things off.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Where do you start? You got to practice hard to get beat by 45 points. It's just unbelievable. But I thought the guy from Brooklyn did a whole nice coaching job. He knew that Kuzma And to turn it, weren't going to do much inside because they haven't all basically all year long. So he cheated a little bit on the guards, and you know, he cut Rollins and the other guard off a little bit, let Trent score a little bit, but I thought he did a pretty good job. You know, beginning of the season, I was a little leery about that bench, and if the Bucks ever had to go to that bench for any length of time, they'd really be hurting. Yep. And I think that's sort of true. I don't think that bench could score 60 points if you left them in two games playing, you know, 40 minutes a game. You know, I think that bench has been pretty weak athletically. What do you think about that?
Your second unit has not been good. Yeah.
I think if you have to rely on some of those guys to come in and score for you, they just can't score. You know, Jackson and Sims.
Well,
and
that group, yeah. Yes. You have, and thanks to the call, Bob, I agree with you. Doc Rivers agrees, too. Like, we've heard Doc talk about the struggle in trying to find the right group on the bench and the right minutes for who. You have a subset of the bench that can only do one thing. All of the bench, essentially, can only do one thing. There's a portion of it that is out there primarily to defend and to rebound. And, you know, you mentioned the name of Andre Jackson Jr. There was a pretty vocal, not even minority, there's a pretty vocal portion of the Bucks fan base that wanted to see more of Andre Jackson Jr. a season ago. It seems like the Venn diagram of those guys and girls are also the ones wanting to see more and more of Jericho Sims. And it is very clear what both of those players possess and bring. It is also very clear what they do not. And I do think in the case of Jericho Sims, it's a matter of, look, you also have to use him properly and put him in the right spots, which I don't think, frankly, he has been featured in so far this season. But there are also quite a few shortcomings on the offensive end from Jericho Sims. There is no denying his ability to move his feet defensively. Despite being, 6'9", 6'10", he can still, you know, protect the rim. He's a terrific rebounder. Outside of that, offense is a chore. And if you thought all the conversations we had a year ago about Andre Jackson Jr. and the lack of offensive creation and scoring, if you thought it was bad there, Jericho Sims struggles even more. By the numbers, he has been one of the worst players in the league, statistically speaking, when you look at the offensive impact versus defensive impact. And that's primarily how the bench is made up. And look, I know before the season started and early in the season, I talked about the bench as potentially being a positive for this group because it was so diverse. Because you had guys that you could lean on for scoring. And because you had options of Jericho Sims, Andre Jackson Jr., if you wanted to put out a defensive lineup, you could. What we have seen, and what I was guilty of overlooking, what we have seen for the last two or so years is that's not the league anymore. You know, the one-way players, that's going the way of the dinosaur. You know, you cannot be as drastic as some of the names we referenced. Like, you think back to the heyday of those guys in the, mid-2010s, when you think about Tony Snell had a home with the Bucks for as long as he did. You think about a guy like Andre Roberson with the Oklahoma City Thunder, that terrific defender. He could hit threes. There was nothing else he was doing. And these guys lasted for a long time because you were able to get away with it. You can't anymore. You know, I mentioned, watch those games played last night and tell me, just get Giannis back and we feel like we're at the same level right now as those two teams have played out west. Look at the makeup of their team. I'm not saying that they have guys that are all NBA caliber defensive players and some of the best offensive players in the league, you know, equally. But the variance of we can only get one thing, that's not there. And that's not there with the best teams in the league. And that is the challenge, or one of them, that the Bucks are currently facing. It's really twofold. It's that you've all of a sudden assembled a roster that doesn't have its best player, that everything was tailored to. Guys that are primarily catch-and-shoot three-point guys. And when he's gone, you're asking guys to create their own shot and facilitate when that isn't their strength. Now, in hindsight, is that an issue with roster construction? Yeah, maybe that's a big thing that we overlooked. But I think a lot of us overlooked that at the time when you look at all the sentiment about this roster and how it was put together. And the other thing is just you need – it's kind of like the discussion over your offensive rating and your defensive rating. You know, at this point, I think to be one of the contenders, you have to be elite at one of them and really good at the other. You know, it was always like, you got to be top 10 in both of them and top 10 in net rating. I don't know if that's even the case anymore. Like, you can cite Denver being 14th, 15th the year that they won the championship. They were elite offensively. Their defense got better as the season went on. That's where you got to be. Like, be a top 5 in one of those categories. And, yeah, you can be 12, 13, something like that. Just, it's a good enough defense that we can rely on. And we think our half-court defense is pretty good. We can get stops in the playoffs. Bucks are nowhere near that right now either. And part of that is how the roster is constructed and what you can lean on for guys. And it's kind of the similar with players, individual players and what you need. Be elite at one thing, be good at the other. It can't be, well, he's really good at this, but he can't do that. And that's unfortunately a lot of what we've seen so far this year. Bucks aren't alone either. Some other teams are facing the same thing. But it feels like it's amplified here with the absence of your best player. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. To join us today on Bucks Talk, this is a very, very tough one. 45-point loss to the Brooklyn Nets. You lose by 45 points to a bad team. And as we sit here at 11-16 on the season, the reality is the Bucks right now are a bad team. We'll update you on the score in Chicago and whether or not the Bucks got any help. Is it help if the Bulls win or lose? How do you choose to view that? We'll get you the latest coming out of Chicago, what it means for the Bucks as we now move into a very, very interesting time of year with tomorrow being December 15th. We'll take more of your thoughts as well coming up next on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Well, a lot to a little. It's really the score tonight as the Nets take it to the Bucks. 127-82. And it was, if you did not watch the game and for some reason you're tuning in to Bucks Talk just to get your fix and hear, hey, I wonder how the Bucks did. It was as jarring for all of us as it is for you to see that score. Like having to do the math in your head again as you're witnessing it happen. Like, well, wait a minute. Is that 40? This is the type of loss that usually... Be careful with the choosing my words here, but you usually see it is not uncommon to see some type of action taken after a loss like this. Even without Giannis, even without AJ Green, that's not 45 points. I mean, technically it is, right? With their scoring averages, it's probably exactly 45. But that's not a 45-point loss to a team that came into this game with the second-worst record in the conference or third-worst in the conference. That doesn't explain that. That doesn't explain the turnovers. That doesn't explain really lackadaisical, I guess would be the way to put it, approach. And it felt like this team was sleepwalking through a lot of the game. And I think the disheartening part about that was how much we heard after that win against the Boston Celtics. And look, this is ultimately the story of the Bucks this season. Is, for every good piece of data I can show you and I can point to more of the bad ones, right? For the 4-1 start to the season, when we talked about the importance of sample size for the first five games and how good you looked, and oh, by the way, that was the last time this team won consecutive games. But for the 4-1 start that had wins over the Knicks, wins over the Warriors without Giannis, a win over the Raptors, who were playing much better at the time. You hung tough with the Cavs, a moral victory loss to the Cavs, right? For all of that, there's everything that's happened since. And, you know, you go back to that Celtics game. Everything we heard coming out of the locker room after that game from Kyle Kuzma, from Kevin Porter Jr., from Bobby Portis, from Ryan Rollins, the question or questions were asked to each and every one of them of, hey, all right, nice win. How do you keep this rolling? And they all agreed, like, yeah, this doesn't mean anything if we don't play the same way. And I think they all stopped short of saying win, but it doesn't mean anything if we don't carry this over into our next game against the Brooklyn Nets. And we've heard that a lot this season. And we haven't seen it. What were the dates of those games, Evan? The Knicks and Warriors games. When was the Warriors game? Was that the 30th of October?
I believe so.
October 30th. The last time this team won consecutive games. You know, there is
October 30th was Golden State and November 28th was the Knicks. Yeah. I mean October 28th was the Knicks.
There is no, like, this isn't Rock and Jock. There isn't no one win that's going to be, oh, this is worth six wins for you. So you're going to have to go on a streak here. But, you know, I go back to what we said at the top of the show in that we said repeatedly, I said repeatedly, you're going to have your answer by the end of December. What is this team? Who is this team? What type of team is this? And what is your path forward? What is the decision that you make given what you are potentially facing in the offseason? I'm not even talking about Giannis and whatever side you come down on, how factual the outside noise and reporting is. I mean, this summer, you have a pick swap with the New Orleans Pelicans, or they have a pick swap with you, is the better way to put it, which they don't even own. They gave away to bring in Derek Queen in the offseason on draft night, who, in fairness to Joe Dumars and the Pels, has looked pretty good lately. But they traded the rights to that pick swap to the Atlanta Hawks. So the Hawks have a pick swap with you with New Orleans pick, if that hasn't lost anyone with confusion. So in other words, the two records that matter are you and the Pelicans. But the Pelicans have nothing to do with this other than the record. So if you finish with a better record than New Orleans, they're going to have better odds to win the lottery or to finish higher in the lottery than you will, and will likely get a better pick than you, which means Atlanta takes New Orleans' pick. You keep your pick. So the big thing and the important part here is, again, New Orleans does not get a pick this summer. But so long as you continue to be anchored, I suppose would be the best way to put it, anchored to right around where the Pelicans are, you can essentially control, you will get a good draft pick. You don't control your draft until 2031. We've gone over that quite a bit. Everybody's aware of that because of the Dame trade. This pick swap is the end, or towards the end, of the Jrue Holiday trade, because you have the pick swap this summer. And then 2027 goes to New Orleans. Then you're done with that trade. Good news. Bad news is that, okay, now we move on to the Dame component of the deal and the picks that we have going out the door and swaps we have going out the door to the Portland Trail Blazers. But so long as New Orleans continues to play the way that they are playing and you continue to scuffle, to put it mildly, you control one aspect of things that hey, we're in line to get a pretty good pick. The Bulls lost tonight, by the way, to those New Orleans Pelicans. So just when you think maybe somebody's going to start to build some separation, I don't know that we're ever going to see it. It may be you and Chicago just trading off all throughout the season of who's going to take 10, who's going to take 11. But right now with the Bulls' loss, the Bulls were 10th. They now slide back to 11, and congratulations, you're back to 10th in the Eastern Conference. But you currently have, if we went only by record and there was no lottery, you would currently be picking 12th in the draft this summer. New Orleans would be picking 2nd. So, at the very least, hey, we're going to have a pick in the lottery if the season were to end today. Now, the way you have to view it is you can fall back 4 spots from where you are. It doesn't apply if you're in the if you're outside of the lottery. So at 12 for the Bucks, they could slide down to 14 potentially. But if you're New Orleans with the 2nd worst record right now, 4 teams could jump into the top 4 that are currently outside of it, because it's flat odds. So 4 teams could jump in there, and that would push New Orleans to the number 6 pick in the lottery. Bucks could be one of those 4 teams, right? And if that were the case, then all of a sudden your pick is lost and you get whatever New Orleans would finish with. In that scenario, let's say the Bucks jump up and win the lottery. The Atlanta Hawks would get the number 1 pick. You would get the number 5 or the number 6 pick. Still a really good draft pick. But as we move along further and further into the season, you know, at some point, there is a cutoff where you say, what makes more sense for the future of this franchise? For us to say, look, if we get Giannis back at this point, and I've said this a lot, the die may be cast, right? You're 10th. You're 4 games back of 9. The Atlanta Hawks are 15 and 12. You're 11 and 16. 4 and 20 right now is the 15 seed. You're equidistant in the loss column to 9 as you are 15 in the East. So at some point, you do have to look at it and say, what makes more sense for the long-term future of this franchise? For us to just continue to fight and scratch and claw and say, all right, if we get Giannis back, if there's no other flare-ups, because, oh, by the way, this is now a couple of years where we're talking about calf strain and soleus and adductor. So if that's fine, if there's no other flare-ups, if we have no other concerns of we got to be extra cautious with him for the remainder of the season, and we just say, screw it, he's back, he's healthy, AJ Green's back, maybe we make a smaller move. I think you've seen enough so far this season to tell you, hey, 2031, that pick where you do start to control your draft, that's off the table, right? If we're currently the 10 seed, 11 seed on some days, you know, depending on how you wake up in the morning, we're not trading 2031. That does not make any logical sense for the future of our organization. And if the reality is, well, we get 10. And what does 10 mean? Well, here's what 10 means. If the season were to end today, it means you're the 10 seed. So in a one-game playoff situation, you go to Atlanta and play the Hawks. If you lose that game, you're eliminated. And then you're put into the lottery. If you win that game, well, then you got to wait to see who loses between the Philadelphia 76ers and Cleveland Cavaliers. You're 0-4 against those two teams so far this season. And then you go to whoever loses, you go on the road, play there, and have to win that game for the right to play the Detroit Pistons, who are right now 20-5 in the first round of the playoffs. And you may say, look, I'm not afraid of the Pistons. I think if we have Giannis, we can beat the Pistons. All right, fine. But you haven't played like it so far. And I know you have beaten the Pistons once this season. But your resume right now is not a team that could upend and disrupt things in the playoffs and beat the one seed. And if that's the case, does it make sense for you to be in that position? Or is what makes more sense saying, look, we are now 27 games into the season, but by the time December ends, there is, eight games left? Can you look that up, Evan? How many games do we have left between now and the end of the calendar year? Because at 27 in, you're basically halfway through the season once you get to the end of December. Close to it. Seven games left, so you're at 34 games. So you're 2 weeks away, mid-January. Your season is halfway over. Have you seen enough from this group, even if you get healthy, to say, yeah, we can go on a charge and we can get past the 9 seed? What is the ceiling right now for all those things that we said, that four back in the loss column of the 15 team, you're six back of the 3 seed, you're five back of the 7 seed even? It's not insurmountable, but you know what makes it insurmountable? Going almost 2 months without winning consecutive games, because that just dooms you to 500 play or worse. You're not going to get out of this until you put together a 5 or 6 game win streak, and so far we've seen nothing that makes you believe that is possible right now. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. To say it's a rough one is putting it mildly. 45-point loss to the Brooklyn Nets. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Well, this is one of the all-time great days in Wisconsin sports history. You have the Bucks losing by 45 points on the road in Brooklyn to the Nets. And then apparently some other stuff happened in another game that was played in Colorado today. Even worse, dare I say, than what happened here. Here we're getting to the point where we just went through it, 34 games in by the end of December. So, like, you may be at the point where you're starting to accept your fate. But for that other team, we had talked ourselves into some much loftier expectations, and that may well be zapped now.
Yeah, when you're likely losing your star defensive end for the year, Micah Parsons, suspect of a torn ACL, and lose your number one receiver and lose the game. It's
everything. They lost Dontavian Wicks.
Everything that could possibly go wrong today for the Packers went wrong. After being up 24-13 coming out of the locker room at halftime, they scored on their opening drive, and then everything kind of went downhill.
For the Bucks, I said at the top of the show, and I think we had somebody call in that wanted to talk about that but didn't want to stick on to actually do it. If you have thoughts on the coaching, you can voice those here. This is your platform for it. For the obvious reason, I can't engage. You're not going to hear me. Well, it's time to do this, and it's time to fire this guy. You can have at it here, because I'm sure there's a lot of that. There are some pretty rabid takes out there, and quite frankly, you know, it's hard not to look at this objectively and say, you know, just as we said, there's a lot of smoke to some of the outside stuff that's being reporting. And if we are going to be honest with ourselves, I'm not saying that Giannis is asking for a trade. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm not saying there's no chance it's going to happen. But I do think if we just look at it from the outside and say, what if this was who's a good example? What if this was Donovan Mitchell? I mean, it already is starting to feel like what we experienced 2 years ago on the other end of that spectrum. It's already starting to feel like Damian Lillard. But what if this was Donovan Mitchell? You know, what if this was... we've already seen other guys moved, right? What if it's Donovan Mitchell? We're objectively looking at it and saying, guys, there's a lot of smoke here. It just feels inevitable that a deal is going to happen. I think you could apply the same lens and say, you know, I've seen these games before. I've seen these types of games. The Bucks are not playing like a good team right now. So you can say, hey, the Bucks aren't a good team either. But the Brooklyn Nets are not a good team and have not been a good team really since the Bucks and Celtics in consecutive years knocked them out of the playoffs. Haven't been the same since then. Trades and personnel, big part of it. But these types of games we have seen become a launching point for bigger changes. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I think if you look at it from the outside and say, wow, now you lose by 45 to the Nets and this is your record, I think people are going to look at it and say, okay, well, when's the next shoe going to drop? And, you know, again, there's one easy comparison that people are going to make and say, yeah, but the records, the record for this guy when you fired him and the record for this guy since, I can't dispute any of that. One coach had a much better record by way of wins-loss than the current coach does since taking over. Things have changed in terms of player availability, right? Injuries have, to say they've compounded is putting it mildly from that point forward. The caliber of opponents, and it's been over a year now with the current coach that, of course, you're going to play every opponent, but the caliber of opponents and the ease of that schedule was much different through the first 43 games for that coach that went 30-13 than what it was for the remainder of the season. That was a part of it, and I think that was a valuable or valid excuse, I should say, for that season alone. Does it carry over into the rest of the seasons? Frankly, no, I don't think that's a fair comparison to make, to say, yeah, but the schedule was easier then. Okay, it's a full season now. So you've played both ends of the spectrum there. What I would also say is, where is that coach? If that was the right guy, if you pulled the plug way too early and that was a really good coach who had a good record, why hasn't the rest of the league agreed with you? Why hasn't any other team in the league agreed with you? Why isn't he coaching somewhere? So it's more complicated than that. There is shades of truth to both arguments there. But it's not as simple as this record was better. I don't know why you gave up on him. You should have stayed with this and things would have been fine. I think we've seen enough to know that is not the case. It is not fine right now, really in any regard. Your defense is not good enough. Your offense is really starting to crater without Giannis. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to the offense when he returns. But when he returns is the biggest question for this team. So we'll do it again, but realistically, what can you expect for these seven games to close out the month of December? And what does that mean then for where you are at and your decisions for the remainder of the season? We'll wrap up the show with that coming up after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.127-82 final. Brooklyn Nets beat your Bucks by 45 points tonight. I don't know if there's going to be any fallout from this or any moves that are made, any panic or desperation types of moves. You do see those types of things happen after performances like this, not just to lose by 45, to lose by 45 to a bad team. You got seven games left in the month of December, that is. If you go 3-4, which by the numbers, that's where you can expect them to be if they haven't won consecutive games in so long, you're 14-20 going into the new year. That's starting to get pretty late, pretty early. Thursday is when they return to the floor of the Bucks and the Toronto Raptors. 7 o'clock tip Thursday from Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk with you Thursday.